Can we read in Proverbs 8? Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding give forth her voice, on the top of high places by the way, at the cross paths she taketh her stand, beside the gates at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, she crieth aloud. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sends two of his disciples and says to them, go into the village which is over against you, and immediately on entering into it you will find a colt tied, upon which no child of man has ever sat. Loose it and lead it here. And if anyone say to you, why do you this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And straightway he sends it hither. And they departed and found a colt bound to the door without at the crossway, and they loose him. A little later this month, persons are being asked to vote on the European matters. And some people are very definite, one way or the other. But a great number of people are unsure, and they're being urged to think carefully, because these matters are important and will affect their lives. But you know, there's a far greater decision could be made tonight in your life. A matter that will affect your eternal destiny. That's really important. And I would urge you just to listen for a few moments, not to me, but to the Word of God, which would come in the glad tidings, because the gospel is streaming from the glory tonight. It's streaming. I love to think of the heart of God out in blessing towards his creature. You know, he said at one point he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until there'll be no place for it. Think of that. Think of the heart of God desiring to bless you and I tonight in the glad tidings. You know, God has always desired to bless his creature. Right from the outset, right from the fall of Adam, God desired to bless his creature. He could have given up on Adam, you know, when Adam fell in the garden. He was given one thing to do, or one thing not to do. And he fell. By one man, sin entered the world, and by sin, death. You see, what's this got to do with me? And death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. Every single one. You can't blame Adam for what happened. Dear friend, you're responsible for your own sin. And you know, every one of us belong to a race that's fallen. That's where we are. It's not a encouraging line, is it? You know, people like to be winners. What good is there in being a loser in the world? People like to succeed, but we belong to a fallen race. A race, you know, that's headed for judgment, because that's what it tells us. The Lord himself tells us in John 3 and 16 that those who believe in him should not perish, but have life eternal. That is, that if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't have him in your heart, if you don't trust him as your Saviour, then you're bound for judgment. God will have to come in judgment, and he will. You know, nothing that God says will not come to pass. Persons think that the time's going on and what God has said will not come to pass. But just remember that God said that he's watchful over his word to perform it. He will bring in judgment. Judgment is coming upon the whole world. Where will you stand, dear friend, tonight? Where do you stand? I love to think of this scripture, you know. Wisdom standing at the crossway, You know, this is not man's wisdom. You know, the world by wisdom has not known God. Man is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know, the things that he's found out as allowed of God and the things that he will yet find out is amazing. But none of it has brought him to God. Indeed, it may even have taken him away from God. It's made him independent. That's what's happened to man. Become independent of God. The world by wisdom has not known God. But God is pleased by the foolishness of the glad tidings to save those who believe. You know, to the Jews, it's an offense. To think that someone would have to die for them is offensive. The upright Jew, you know, keeping the law as he saw it. How offensive to him that the Lord Jesus would have to die for him. And to the Greeks, foolishness. Foolishness. What's the point in believing in a man that died 2,000 years ago? That was no ordinary death. That was no ordinary life. That was no ordinary man. You know, there was a very bad decision made 2,000 years ago. Not this man, but Barabbas. And look what's happened to the world since then, you know. Peter puts it plain to them in the Acts. The originator of life ye slew, and asked that a man that was a murderer should be granted to you. The world made its choice 2,000 years ago. And look what has resulted. Men are no answer to the problems of the world. Why? Because the answer lies in Christ. Why doesn't God intervene? Are you prepared to let God intervene in your life tonight? Are you prepared to let God intervene here? This is where he starts, you know, in the heart. Has your heart been opened to receive Christ? Are you standing at the crossway tonight? You know, I believe every person is brought to the crossway. Point in your life when you're presented with the Saviour. What's going to be your decision? You know, how many times have you heard the gospel? How many times has God in his goodness brought you in to a place where you could hear about Jesus? You say, well, I'll come back next week. Maybe you won't. Maybe this will be the last time you hear the gospel. Maybe the answer you give tonight will be taken as your final answer. Don't trifle with eternal matters in relation to the destiny of your soul. You need a Saviour. God knows that you need a Saviour. And he's placed that Saviour within your grasp tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is passing by, passing through Jericho. There was a man who seized his opportunity. Jesus is passing by in Worthing tonight. You'll hear the faintest cry. Think of that, you know. Think of the greatness of who he is, you know. Think of that pathway. Think of him as the creator of the universe. Who he was. And yet he stood still at the cry of a blind beggar. The grace of my Saviour. We're even this morning in the house. The incoming of Christ in Luke's Gospel. God commanded the most powerful man in the universe at that time to order a census in order that Joseph and Mary would go back to Bethlehem. That the Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem according to the scriptures. And there was no room at the inn. How typical, you know. Still the same tonight. No room for Jesus. Have you any room for Jesus? The hymn, I thought it was in our book, but it's not. Have you any room for Jesus? Oh, dear friend, what a thing it is to have Jesus in your heart. There he was laid in a manger. Who is he in yonder stall? God over all, blessed forevermore, come down. How was God to get near his creature? How was God to express his love for his creature? Only by becoming man. Jesus came, you know, in order to let man know what lay in God's heart towards him. To display God's love towards his creature in a way that it was not possible otherwise. You know, think of God and his pent up feelings towards his creature. These 4,000 years as he waited for the incoming of Christ. Exactly 4,000 years. Exactly. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. Born of a woman, come of a woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law. He came as a Jew, because the Jew was under law. The Gentile, you and I, we've never been under law. But the Jew was under law. The Lord Jesus came that way, that those that were under law might be redeemed, and that we might receive sonship. You know, there is no possibility of you having a relationship with God outside of the Lord Jesus. People talk about praying to God and speaking to God and reaching God in other ways, but I can assure you that the only way to have a relationship with God in this time is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, salvation is in none other, neither is there another name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. That's the God that I present, the God that desires your blessing, that desires to save you, that knows every detail of your life and still loves you. Think of that, you know. What a revelation to that woman. I'll have to speak of her in John 4. To realize that the Lord Jesus knew every minute detail of her life. And you know, you stand completely exposed before the blessed God, before the Lord Jesus, completely. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. And he wants to bless you. You know, the hymn writer could say that he who loves me best, loves me, who knows me best, loves me most. Isn't that wonderful? Love of Christ, you know, brought him from the glory, brought him from that scene. As we remarked this morning, he was found in swaddling clothes. It refers to the restrictions of manhood that he came into. The Creator stepping into the creation. Was it made like he found it? Not a bit of it. Sin had come in and affected every part of it. No wonder he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Think of these persons that he came in contact with, that he relieved from their burden. But you know, the Lord Jesus carried these burdens all the way to Calvary. Think of what he bore there. Oh, what a load was thine to bear, we sang this morning. Do you have any appreciation of what it meant for the blessed Saviour to go right to Calvary's cross for you and for me? You know, we need to be deepened in our appreciation of what the Lord has done for us. He who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we may become God's righteousness in him. Think of that, the thing that he actually hated. You know, he could speak in John of Moses raising up the serpent in the wilderness. What a type, you know, of Christ raised up. The serpent went through the people and bit them. And those that were bitten died. You know, death lies upon everything. We've all been bitten. Where is the answer? A look at Christ, where he is. That's the answer. There's life in a look at the crucified one. There's life in a look for thee. I would like to bring you to the cross tonight, the cross of Calvary. What a wonderful place, great meeting place of the sinner and the Saviour. You know, where your burden can be rolled away completely as accepting that Jesus bore it for you. Think of that. Think of the love of somebody who was prepared to take on your liability and discharge it completely. I love to, I probably told you before, but a good story about two friends who were great friends in their youth, and then they parted and their lives took very different courses. One became a criminal and the other became a judge. And one day the two of them met in the courtroom. And the man, the criminal, was a destitute. His life had brought him to absolute destitution. And the judge was appealed to have mercy because of the man's condition. But he said, no, justice must be done. $60 fine. And then he took off his robes and went down to the bar and paid the man's fine. That's what Jesus has done. He couldn't overlook your sin. God couldn't overlook it. But Jesus paid the price. He paid it in full. And the price was his precious blood. Gave it up for you. The only one who had a right to live. You forfeited your right to live. Every one of us. We forfeited it. Because of our sinnership. But you know, the only one who had a right to live gave it up for me. On Calvary's cross, went into death, met the judgment, the storm we sung this morning, the storm that burst on thy blessed head. You know, the storm of God's judgment is coming upon this world. But it burst on the head of Jesus at Calvary's cross when he took your place and mine. Your place, if you'll trust in him. It's towards all, but it's upon all who believe. You know, it's as wide as possible in its provision, but it's limited in its application because you have to open your heart to receive Christ. You have to accept that before God you are a sinner and you need a Saviour. And I can assure you, you'll find him tonight. Oh, that many will find a Saviour tonight. Can't speak of tomorrow, you know. We make plans. We organise things. We can't speak of tomorrow. Tomorrow's sun may never rise upon thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh then be wise, thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? You may get another, never get another opportunity. Wisdom is like the preacher standing at the crossway. Maybe you've heard the gospel before. Maybe you never accepted Christ. Well, to accept him tonight. Come by faith and repentance into the most wonderful blessing that divine love could devise. Surrender to Christ tonight. He's given his all for you. He's no longer in death. He's no longer in the grave. He's raised by the glory of the Father. Say, notice that God was entirely satisfied with the finished work of Jesus. He raised him from among the dead and given him a name that which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Do you know, you need to be absolutely clear that you will bow the knee to Jesus. You know, persons throughout the whole of their life can resist coming to Christ. But you know, when you die, you submit to Christ because he rules over dead and living. You come under, not for blessing, but for judgment. These are solemn matters. You see, is this glad tidings? You need to know the truth. You need to know what the truth is. And apart from Christ, you will perish. Well, what a Saviour he is. He's my Saviour. He's the Saviour of many in this room. I commend him to you. I love to think of the quote, you know, in Mark. There it was, tied at the crossway. Mark had made a bad decision in his life at one point. And he became unserviceable in the testimony. It's possible when you're older to make bad decisions He was recovered. And he wrote this gospel as a recovered man. But he's in a hurry, Mark. Everything's immediately. He's making up lost time. I would encourage you as a young person to make right decisions tonight. You know, and all of us, you know, some of us when we're older, we make bad decisions. Think of Lot, you know. He made a bad decision, didn't he? Abraham looked to the hills, to Hebron. Lot looked to the place that was coming under judgment. It says he dwelt in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tents as far as Sodom. And then he was found in the gate at Sodom. He was drawn in and drawn in. A believer in the world system. Drawn into a situation he couldn't get himself out of. How solemn. You know, and these angels, as a result of the intercession of Abraham. He says, if there's 50 found in Sodom, will you not judge it? And God says, I won't judge it. And he comes right down to 10. But Abraham had the wisdom to stop at 10. If there was 10 righteous in Sodom, well, there was only a Lot, as far as we know. And he was dragged out. He was dragged out, but he brought disaster on his family. Absolute disaster. That was a man, a believer, typically, who made a bad decision. Let us understand that the world is coming under judgment. Let us not, as believers in the Lord Jesus, where he has been rejected, the world's judgment has never been reversed. He's still rejected in the world. Let us not find our home there. You know, we may take a certain path in self-will and find that it's not so easy to retrace our steps. You know, younger son found that it wasn't so easy to get back as it had been to get away. But God, in his goodness, brought him to repentance and brought him back. Well, if you're standing at the crossways tonight, maybe your life is spread out ahead of you. Commit your life to Christ. The Lord has need of you. That's a word I would tell you. The Lord needs you. Now, I can't tell you what to do. The Lord will tell you that. But I know that he needs you, dear young person. This colt became a part of what honored Christ and glorified him. What an ambition. As a young person, I don't think ambition's the right word. What a desire, as a young person or as an older person, as a believer in Christ, to be devoted to that which honours him and glorifies him. Dear young person, dear old person, the Lord needs you. Commit your life to him and find the blessing that flows from that, for his name's sake.